What is... Dax, are you...
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker? On all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge! Trucks up 3.9%!
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Usually we go around the AFC North. Everybody's knocked out now.
What has happened to the once fine, well-decorated AFC North?
Things went to hell in a handbasket.
Sad to see.
The Baltimore Ravens lost. Todd Monken decided again he didn't want to run the ball that much. Ken Wyman, he breaks it all down for us as we go around the AFC playoffs and we talk to the final team in the AFC North that is out. The Baltimore Ravens and Ken Wyman, 105.7 The Fan in Baltimore. Let's start with Monken first. Too much Monken, not enough Monken. Ken, go.
I have trouble criticizing him too much because they had over 400 yards of offense. And also, if not for a couple of turnovers, I do think Henry gets well over 20 carries. But, yeah, I think it's fair to talk about that Henry didn't run more. But I do think it was the game that led to that. And also, you know, the final drive when they're in the 2-minute drill, Henry's not going to be on the field for that. But no, I honestly do think this is more. Last year, I think it was more Monken lost the plot, and this year, honestly, it's the same old story. And I think we've talked about this before. I said if they were going to lose a game at some point in the playoffs, we're going to talk the next time we talk that the Ravens beat themselves, and that's what they did.
Who is getting more blame? Is it Mark Andrews or Lamar Jackson?
Mark Andrews. This is the Mark Andrews hat trick game, and people forget he had a key drop on an early drive in the, I think it was the first quarter, where first and 10 from the 30, he dropped a pass at the 20 or 22. It would have been at worst second and 2 from the 22. The very next play was the Lamar Jackson fumble. And if they have second and 2 at the 22, they're probably running a different play, and that doesn't transpire that way. So you have that. You have the fumble, which was atrocious, and then the drop at the end of the game. And quite frankly, guys, he's in the last year of his deal, and Isaiah Likely's heading into the last year of his deal, and they're probably going to want to pay Isaiah Likely, and the Ravens don't pay two guys at the same position usually. It would not shock me if Mark Andrews was traded this offseason.
So that's his last offensive play with the Baltimore Ravens is a drop and a two-point conversion?
I think it's possible.
Ooh. Lima, would you want Mark Andrews?
Yeah, he's pretty good. Is he not?
Not in the playoffs, he's not, but he's good in the regular season.
We got to crawl playoffs, before we walk.
Ken,
but you guys don't make the playoffs. So
okay, we did it last year, Ken.
Come on,
we did it last year, Ken.
What is this? Ken.
Listen, laugh.
If that game is played in a dome, does Baltimore think they're heading to the AFC Championship
Ooh.
Game?
You know, I they play wherever they play.
I and asked
they
if it was in a dome.
They were going to find ways to lose that game. I just, that's what they do. This is the second offseason in a row where we're going to spend the whole offseason talking about what might have been. But this year's really weird because you can make the argument that they beat themselves in every single one of their losses. And so... Like, you don't get a trophy for saying, well, nobody beat us, we beat ourselves. But that's where the Ravens are right now. And I'm going to John Harbaugh and general manager Eric DaCosta have their interseason press conference today at 11. I don't know that we're going to get any answers because they don't really say a whole lot.
Ken, what answer could you have? That'd be so frustrating as a fan. You know, I'm sure Browns fans in 87 when, you know, Ernest Biner fumbles the football. Like, what do you say? Yeah. How do you say we're not going to do that next year? We're going to make sure nobody. You guys barely turned the ball over at all.
No, and Lamar didn't. Lamar had four picks the whole year, and then he has a pick and a fumble in the first half. And I'll tell you this: like there were, if you take away the Andrews drops or the atrocious PI call at the end of the first half, because remember that's 3rd and 5. They're kicking a field goal if that flag's not thrown. Instead, that's a touchdown. That's a 4-point difference. I think the Ravens still find a way to win the game, but you can't. It didn't. That both those things happened, and they found a way to lose the game.
Ken Wyman, 105.7 The Fan in Baltimore. So If the game was played in an abandoned Kmart parking lot, would they still find a way to lose the game?
If it wasn't televised, then possibly. But I think the bright lights, something happens with them. They get all verklempt, if to use an Italian word.
Wow. All right. Ken Wyman, 105. So, oh, real quick, do you think the refs give unfair treatment in a good way to Pat Mahomes?
I thought what Troy Aikman said during that broadcast was very interesting for a number of reasons. He's a quarterback, A. He lost his career because of concussions, B. So you'd think he'd be on the side of all that. But he perfectly called it out, saying, like, you can't slow down and bait a defender and then flop and get a call for it. I think it's bad, and I think it's something that needs to be looked at in the offseason.
Ken Wyman, 105.7 The Fan in Baltimore, as the Ravens bid adieu to the 2024 season. We now go out to Buffalo, where the Bills are still alive in San Capaccio, WGR 550 in Baltimore. Sal, first, you feel you're playing the refs as well as the Chiefs coming up on Sunday?
Oh, I think there's an element of that, I think, in the back of everybody's head, right? I mean, we all seen it. I think Warren Sharp had an amazing stat yesterday. If you follow him on Twitter, he does a lot of this stuff with, you know, these kinds of inside numbers and how the Chiefs have basically played 11 playoff games and have been the least penalized team in all but one of them, 10-1, whereas actually in the regular season, a lot of times they're more penalized than the playoffs, that switches. But who knows? I think great quarterbacks get the benefit of the doubt and get calls. I think that happens with great players. I think I'm a Yankees fan. I think Derek Jeter gets, you know, balls and strikes. So, yeah, I think there's an element of that. But you know what? You can't let that creep in. You go out there and you play. I'm sure we'll talk a little bit about that with the players this week inside one Bills drive. And they're going to say, you can't leave it up to that. You just have to go out there and do your thing and make sure that, you know, that doesn't come into play.
Well, it's interesting because there are the mind games that coaches can play. I know as an Ohio State fan, Buckeyes have been complaining all year that there have been no holds called. And then they kind of complained about it in the lead up to the national championship game. And then they got it called. They got a few of them called. Is there a way, is there a method here that the Bills can stir up this as a national talking point going into Arrowhead that maybe they do have to get that call then?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. Again, like, I think if you let the referees and calls get into your head, you're already lost. I think that's the way I would look at it, right? You go out there and you play your game. I just heard your Baltimore guest say the pass interference on Tre'Davious White. Yep, maybe it was a ticky-tack call. I will also tell you, we all saw Deion Dawkins get called for a holding penalty that clearly was not a holding penalty. And the Bills gained a big gain on that, and they wound up punting. So I just don't think that you can let that factor into how you think about the game.
What goes through a Bills fan's head at this juncture? It's one of the few fan bases that can kind of share some of the heartache of the Browns of the 80s. You know, four straight Super Bowls, that whole thing. What do Bills fans go through to try to protect their feelings? Do they try to protect their feelings at this time?
Sure. I think there's a defense mechanism for sure, right? I mean, it was four Super Bowls for a lot of us. But, you know, we're past that with generations now. We're old. But those of us went through it. And I did when I was younger. But I think even for this generation of Bills fan who went through 17 years of not even making the playoffs, and then over the last, you know, 7 out of 8 years making the playoffs, and the heartbreak over the last, you know, 4 or 5 years, losing with 13 seconds, having the lead, losing last year, having critical plays down the stretch. I think there's such a defense mechanism of just kind of, you know, expecting the worst and knowing and not guarding against it. I know that, like, even for me, you know, broadcasting the games and things like that, I don't want to get too far ahead of myself and think about what does it look like after the game if they were to do this. So how does it go? I don't want to – we have to prepare for things like that, right? I'm on the sidelines. I'm thinking, what happens after the game if they win? But I don't want to get that far ahead because it's just, you know, you can't allow yourself to be disappointed, I guess.
Any takeaways, though, from that regular season game, or is that in November? And obviously the Chiefs are a very, very different team come January.
I think there are some takeaways, but they're both very different guys. There were a lot of guys missing on both sides in that game. You know, the Bills didn't have Matt Milano at the time. They didn't have a right tackle, Spencer Brown. We know the Chiefs didn't have Isaiah Pacheco. They didn't have DeAndre Hopkins. You know, there's a lot there. I think both teams have changed. But sure enough, look, this game, the biggest difference is this game's at Arrowhead. It's not at, you know, an Orchard Park at Highmark Stadium. And, you know, we know the Chiefs, just like the Bills are undefeated at home, the Chiefs are undefeated at home. And, you know, it's going to be tougher on offense, no doubt about it. I have looked at some of the numbers and thought, you know, that game, the Bills just could not run the ball. Well, they've become one of the best run teams in the NFL since then. And the Chiefs actually for some reason, I don't know what the reason might be, but they've actually, over the last month, have been a little leaky against the run. Maybe that's an area where the Bills, you know, could try to be a little bit different in this game. At the same time, you know, we see that the Chiefs offense has gotten some weapons back, and I'm sure they're going to be, they've been incorporating Xavier Worthy a little bit more. So definitely these two teams are a bit different since that meeting, which wasn't too long ago.
Scott Capaccio, WGR 550 in Buffalo. Do you feel the outdoors is a home field advantage for you as the Bills?
Sure, absolutely. I think being outdoors, listen, there's a new stadium going in across the street. I know you guys got a big thing going on there as well about a stadium, but you know, the Bills are building a new stadium. They have 1 year left at Highmark Stadium, and the building across the street is not going to be a dome, and a lot of people say, well, I can't believe you're not building a dome. It's Buffalo. But look, I mean, it's part of the culture of Western New York and Cleveland, I think, and a lot of these other places to play outdoors and have it part of the elements. And you do think it can be an advantage because when teams come in from different places, from domes, from the West, they think, oh, my gosh, it's so cold. I want to get out of here. The other thing is, though, it is going to have a canopy, and 64% of the seats, I believe it, are going to be covered. They did a poll. Season ticket holders here said, we don't mind being cold. We just don't like being wet, right? So they're going to basically have that option. But I think on the field, the Bills also have Josh Allen, who seems to play better in those conditions, to be quite honest. Look, he wasn't prolific last week. He was still 77% or 73% throwing the football. Like, if there's any quarterback in the league that the elements just seem to not matter ever, it's Josh Allen. So as much as people say, imagine the offense that they would have if it was in a dome. Well, they're not in a dome, and they scored over 30 points a game this year.
Scott Capaccio, WGR 550. The Bills get ready to take on the Kansas City Chiefs later on this weekend in the AFC Championship game. We go to Kansas City and Alex Gold, 96.5, the Fan in Kansas City, where Alex, you guys have probably felt differently about this over the last few years because you're in the bubble that is Kansas City. Let me tell you, as an outsider here, this feels like the first time. How long has Patrick Mahomes been in the league? 8 years. It feels like the first time in 8 years, over this 8-year run, that the Chiefs are truly villains outside of Kansas City. How does it feel to be the bad guy?
Yeah, nothing that I would have ever imagined would have happened with a team from Kansas City. That's for sure, guys. Great to be on with you again. Yeah, I mean, this is unique territory for Kansas City sports fans, period. Typically, Kansas City sports, the Royals go on a run and everybody's rooting for them. The Chiefs go on a run and everybody's rooting for them because it's a smaller market in these leagues. But we have definitely shifted to the complete opposite side. And I don't have to tell you guys about the conversation specifically after Saturday's game. I've never seen, frankly, even going back to the Patriots, maybe it's social media being more prevalent these days, more hate for one franchise based off of results of a game. And it really isn't just one game, right? It's people upset that this team has been winning for the last 7 years.
Does it feel like Kansas City plays by a different set of rules to the fans or to the refs?
I think a lot of people here recognize that, hey, they also have one of the special players in this league. They're the same way Tom Brady, the same way LeBron James will get some calls that are favorable. I think what people here are annoyed by is the folks that have kind of gone off the deep end with it, which is it's all rigged for the Chiefs, that somehow the NFL owners have decided that the second smallest media market in the country, in the NFL, has decided for them to be the team that is going to win every single year. So it makes a lot of sense, you know, to not pick a team in L.A. or New York.
All right, obviously the three Super Bowl championships, all the AFC championship teams. Where is this Chiefs team if you were to rank them with all the others? How good are they compared to the teams that have already won the Super Bowl?
Well, let's just look at last year. I think defensively, no doubt it was a better football team a year ago. You know, they're starting to get going again with some guys coming back from injury the last week or so. Jalen Watts in the corner, Charles Omenihu the last month or so. So they're closing that gap, but I think there's no doubt last year's defense was better than this year's defensive team. But I also think this year's offense heading into the postseason is better, even if it is a defensive team the last 2 years. So if we're comparing over this entire run, there's definitely been better offensive teams. It's not a high-flying offense the way it was in the past. But I still think, you know, in terms of a balance, if I were to tell you a team's a top-10 offense and a top-10 defense, that's going to give you a chance to win a Super Bowl every year, and that's really where they're at again.
All right, Alex, we talk to a Chiefs fan every day on this show, Owen, and he is standing right next to me with the microphone. Owen, what are you worried about with this Chiefs team that I want to ask Alex?
Probably that they don't have enough receivers that are not as Kelsey and DeAndre Hopkins.
Alex, your thoughts?
So, one, I would say this past week, there was only one receiver that had a pass catch, right? Had a catch. That was Xavier Worthy. So I get the concern there based off of one game. But otherwise, I actually think it's the opposite. We've been talking here locally that this team, compared to especially the earlier season meeting, you've got Hollywood Brown available now. Xavier Worthy, much like Rashee Rice last year, the final half of the season, has really become their number one option outside of Travis Kelce. DeAndre Hopkins is the one guy who everybody can't really figure out here in town. You know, he's capable of making big-time catches, but they really haven't played him that much. He hasn't been on the field, and you know, he's healthy by all accounts. So that's the one mystery. But I actually disagree. I think if anything, that's why I said I think you know the offense is better than a year ago. I think if you guys go back and look where they were at heading into the postseason, MVS was one of their top targets. I think fans here feel way better about their pass catching options heading into the postseason. The biggest concern here still for a lot of people is that offensive line in the left tackle spot.
Alex, would a loss be better for Sports Talk Radio in Kansas City? Spice things up a little bit.
Wow.
No, not when it's a three-peat run. Otherwise, I would totally agree with you. It's because it's a three-peat. If it wasn't a three-peat run, then 1,000%.
Alex Gold, 96.5. Oh, real quick, is this Travis Kelce's last game at Arrowhead?
I think it is if they win it all. Yeah, I think win it all. But if they win it all, I think you get the three-peat. You've got all these off-the-field opportunities. I think it could be, absolutely. It's just, you know, the way he's playing, it's so hard, I think, for fans here to think that he could actually step away based off of what he just did last week, 117 yards. But, yeah, it's absolutely in the cards.
Alex Gold, 96.5, the Fan in Kansas City. Part of the great three that joined us for around the AFC playoffs. Ken Wyman, 105.7, the Fan in Baltimore. And Sal Capaccio, WGR 550 in Buffalo.
Travis Kelce is done after this year?
According to Alex Gold, if they win, it's his theory that it'll be done.
Only you knew a Chiefs fan that thought that same thing.
What, you believe that?
Yeah.
But I never asked you.
Well, see you later.
No, don't go anywhere. I just never asked you. Where's he going? I never asked Owen. Well, he's gone now. We're in a big amount of trouble now. Pull the old Kenny on you, eh? Gotta get you a leather vest. Getting out of here. I wanted to play this. This is Troy Aikman from the broadcast. Over the weekend, and we got to a little bit of this yesterday. We didn't have a lot of time. Troy Aikman was despondent over this call on with that favored Patrick Mahomes in the AFC divisional round. Hit it.
Mahomes dropped it, able to get it and take off to his right, and then slide down. They're going to throw a flag on that.
Personal foul, unnecessary roughness. Defense number 39.
Come on. I could not disagree with that one more, and he barely gets hit. That's the second penalty now that's been called against the Texans. They've got to address it in the offseason. You can't, as a quarterback, run around and play games with defenders and then be able to draw a penalty.
Audio courtesy of ESPN. So I like the history of the NFL. I watch all the old clips of, you know, Mark Carrier laying people out and Steve Atwater laying people out. And it always pops up on my social media. And if you're on Facebook, if you're still on the good book, get some of those groups, because back when you could actually play, back when you could actually hit. Well, some of that is true. And some of it's, well, you know what? We get more turnovers now. We get more guys punching the ball out. We create more of those. It's a little bit more exciting. Like, watching Travion Henderson, I'm like, man, they're going for the ball. They're just punching him like crazy, lining up, swinging on this guy to get that ball out. Which you never saw that before. Guys tried to lay each other out and tried to dislodge the ball that way. Usually, you just clam up and held on to the ball. That, I think that the game has gotten better because there's more of a chance of fumbles, turnovers, excitement. This hurts the NFL's credibility. This hurts the NFL's credibility. And I think for the first time, I think there's been some fans who have hated the Chiefs. I thought that we would hate the Chiefs, and then we ran into our own problems. Remember, I was saying that when Baker was first taking us to the playoffs. I go, man, this is hopefully the beginning of something good where everybody else is going to like the Chiefs, and we are going to despise them. I think now they are the villains. They are, whether it be guys sick of Taylor Swift, guys sick of the Kelces outside of Cleveland, tired of hearing the story, tired of Mahomes, tired of the family, tired of the Chiefs. And that culminated in that game over the weekend where Troy Aikman's fit to be tied going, we're really going to call this? This is what it is? Now you can't even run into the quarterback? I mean, again, you had to scoop his brains out at one time with a soup ladle, and we're going to call this? That's Troy Aikman saying that, and I think Troy Aikman's right. It affects it affects the credibility of the league.
Yeah, but for the credibility to be damaged to such an extent that people would stop watching the game.
I don't know if that would ever happen.
So then it doesn't matter, right? It doesn't really matter. Because I saw and I noted in the first half of that game against the Chiefs, I thought there were like six 50-50 calls or whatever that all wasn't just that, that all went against Houston. And it's understandable, right? It's understandable that you could kind of get it that the young team, the inexperienced team that doesn't have the superstars, like we've always talked about that. You're just not going to get the respect from officials. So you could like analytically break it down that way. But in the same token, like, I don't know if anybody cares that its credibility is down. People are saying the league is rigged, the league is rigged. Well, you don't really think the league is rigged because you still are into it. Well, if you thought the league was rigged and preventing you from having a chance to really go somewhere, and I know there are Browns fans that say that every week, the entire time we've been on the station, the entire time I've ever been on social media, Browns fans have said we get the calls against us. Of course, that's the same in every city because I have friends in other cities. They say the same things about their teams. They all think they're getting screwed by the officials and by the league, and they think there are like memos that are, you know, widely distributed around the league to kill every team except the one that wins it all every year. Like, obviously, that's pretty silly. So where does it get us? It's obviously not rigged to an extent that people would stop watching. So does it matter?
I don't think it's, you know, I don't want to use the term rigged. I fight against that. My, you know, our business is based on us believing in the sport and people believing in the sport and believing in football. If we lose, like, this is why I do get frustrated with the Browns. I'm going, they're not going to give you this forever. They're not going to give you this love, this unbridled enthusiasm forever. And frankly, I think the Watson thing has turned a lot of people off to where, yeah, they will consider apathy, or they will let their kids older than, hey, everybody has another team when they're a little kid or something like that. A lot of people do. And then you hit like, hey, you turn to an age where it's like, we want to go up to the stadium. You become Browns fans. I'm seeing more and more guys letting their kids be Bills fans, taking them up to Bills games, which is only 3 hours away. It's not that far away. It bothers me. You know, these are things that bother me because it's like I need people to believe in the sports that they watch. I just got done at the beginning of the very, very beginning of the show, and I will again, hammering Major League Baseball. That coming up here in just about 10 minutes. I'll do that again because it bothers me because you take away attention and love of the sport. It's why I love what the NBA is doing. Hey, as a Cavs fan, you're 36-6. You're loving what the NBA is doing. You might not be watching as many other games as you were, but you love what the Cavaliers are doing. They're a hell of a team, and we're making more parity than we ever have before. But when I see stuff like this, I can't just have one set of rules and say it's for these guys and have it be so blatantly obvious. Because when you go to the first game where Mahomes gets breathed on and there's a penalty, Bruins are dry. They had a defensive stop. Defensive stop, and you're calling these penalties and putting Houston's defense back on the field. And then in the next game, and I don't know how close you were watching the next game, I'm not ripping you for this, Tone, Jared Goff's getting ragdolled. It wasn't Terry Bradshaw and Joe Turkey Jones.
No, I mean, he got destroyed after
Jared
an interception.
Goff took hits. Jared Goff took real hits. No flags. Nothing. Why? Because Jared Goff isn't the face of the league? Because Jared Goff's family isn't friends with Taylor Swift?
Right, there is no way that like that would not have been called against Mahomes,
you could
right?
No, absolutely not. And you could think what I think is stupid, why I just said that. There's millions of fans who think that when they watch that. And it affects your credibility. You cannot have that. That's why these guys, that's why when it comes to gambling, like you can't, if other teams go to Vegas, guys, they're people who are not even anywhere near a part of their football team. You can't walk through a casino. You can't be a part of a casino. You can't eat. I don't even know if you can go to restaurants in a casino. I don't think you're allowed to eat there. Like, that's how seriously they take that. And they'll ban you for a year as a player, as we've already seen with gambling. They do everything they can. And then on Sunday, you're watching a guy who is the face of the league get preferential treatment, and people are sick of it. They're sick of it. Because it's such a hard game to win, and it seems like you're giving this. And if I shut up about it, it just feels like it's always going to go. So if a Bills fan can buy a call, they're going to try to buy a call. They're going to try to say,
said,
put as much pressure they can on the league.
I already said.
So if Patrick Mahomes
they should
gets
be talking
leveled,
about it right now.
Don't be throwing the flag.
They should be talking about it right now. It should be every press conference. I know that Sal that we had on earlier from Buffalo did not agree. He's like, oh, if you're already thinking about the refs, then you're losing. Yeah, but you're going to need everything. You're going to need the refs. You're going to need help. You're not beating Kansas City at Arrowhead Fair and Square. It's not happening.
Let me get to Jay in Akron. Jay, you're first up on the Fan.
How's it going, guys?
Not bad, Jay. Go right on ahead.
I know you guys just touched on it, but I'm a big Lions fan. And, you know, Jared Goff gets hit underneath the chin.
Nothing.
And, like, nothing. And it affects him the rest of the game. You know, he goes out. He might not have a concussion, but if you look at how he played the rest of the game, he wasn't the same.
And we went through this, and I'll tell you this, Jay. Like, you want an equal enforcement of the rules. You remember years ago, Baker at Tampa Bay got smacked in the head, and the explanation of it was ridiculous. And I go, okay, he might not have earned it yet because he's not a veteran in the league. And I go, wait a minute, whoa, he's not earned what? He's not earned the consideration for a head injury because he's not a veteran in the league? Like, do you understand how silly that sounds when I say it?
It goes to the point where if you have this conversation that you want this league to be a quote-unquote safer league and you don't do anything to where guys just get railed, oh, but if somebody just breathes on Patrick Mahomes, oh, it's fine. Oh, no, we'll get 15 yards. And, you know, it completely takes any type of competitiveness and it takes any type of just fair game out of it. And it gets to the point where it's almost laughable. All right, well, it gets to a point, okay. It's third and whatever. Okay, so they're probably going to throw it, and Patrick Mahomes is going to get a 15 yards, and they keep going. It just gets old.
And up until last week, I'll tell you this, Jay, and thank you very much for the call. Up until last week, I was a holdout. I thought, again, we'd hate the Chiefs, and then we made our own decisions, and I didn't have time or energy to hate the Chiefs. We had to focus on ourselves. For the first time, and partially this is because we have Owen in the room and he's from Oklahoma and he's a Chiefs fan and I like Owen. I was a holdout. Troy Aikman got my dander up. That play got my dander up. The next one got me going. And I'm like, man, I want anybody to win but this team. I want anybody to win but this team. I'm glad that Baltimore lost so I wouldn't have had to push for Baltimore. Like, you said that you would push for Baltimore over Kansas City before the playoffs started. I thought you were crazy. I'm going, Judas Priest, I'm so sick and tired of seeing this freaking team get all these freaking calls. I'm so sick and tired of seeing Patrick Mahomes in the Super Bowl. It's turning me off every which way but loose. That play right there changed my entire perspective on it.
Kenny, it's also made...
I finally let it pour over me.
But it's also made all the conversations we have about the NFL kind of moot. Like, we're sitting here trying to talk about a Browns, what they need to do. Are they in a window? How do they get to the playoffs? None of it matters. If the Chiefs just go to the Super Bowl again and win the Super Bowl again, what conversations can people have around the league other than, hey, maybe there are injuries? That's it? Is that what we're going to do every day? Hey, maybe there'll be injuries this year.
Has the NFL's credibility taken a hit? Which you brought up, like, how much do they care? And I'll use the Al Michaels line, yeah, you fell from number one to number one. Such a drop. But the story came out this morning. I don't know if you read this from BSM, our good friends at Barrett Sports Media. CBS draws 42.2 million viewers for Ravens-Bills, down 16% from last year per report. It's a 16% drop for 42.2 million people.
That's pretty obviously a massive audience, and the networks love 40-plus million people watching a football game.
Of course.
But it's down. It is interesting. Wild card was down. Divisional round in total, I think, was down 8%. So you've had back-to-back weeks where we may have found our ceiling for fandom in the NFL because the numbers never go down.
I would say there's so many different scenarios. I'm going to get to these phone calls here in just a moment because I want to ask, like, the calls on Mahomes or the flags that go for Mahomes, has it hurt the credibility of the league with you as a fan? And in so many other aspects, I'd say the NFL, they're the biggest entity going. No one can catch them. I don't know how many can even try or if any of them should. They shouldn't care about anything. But when it comes to the Super Bowl, they want to be something for everybody. And so, yes, the NFL would care. It would. The people in the office, I don't think they go as far as to rig football games. At least I pray they wouldn't. But it would serve people in the league office in New York to have Taylor Swift at the Super Bowl because her boyfriend's playing in the Super Bowl. It's fish in a barrel.
But couldn't I make the argument?
It's fish in a barrel.
And I want to get to the calls here. Couldn't we make the argument, though, that the NFL needs to build up another team? And then you would have the revenge factor for Kansas City the following year. Like, I think that would build up. If you're talking about maybe...
Should we get Tate McRae to...
Well, taking a
fan of another team?
Yeah, why not? To take a temporary hit because If Kansas City's, if the Kansas City's not in Super Bowl this year, the ratings might go down a little bit. It might, if it's Buffalo and Washington, for instance, the ratings probably dip. But guess what it does to the following year? It makes all the Kansas City games so much bigger.
Yeah.
And it makes a playoff run where there could be a rematch so much bigger. So if you were going to rig it, is there a chance might make sense to rig it against Kansas City this year?
Well, I would say yes in so many ways. It's an entertainment business, so it would make that sense. And by good God, how could you not go with a team like Buffalo if you're going to go that way? But I hope it's never that way, because everything would just be built on a lie. And then I would be sitting there going, man, you've made the Browns bad for the most part for 25 years. What the hell do the fans do to you? What, just because they took you to court over Art Modell? Really going to make the fans suffer for an entire generation and a half because of that? Like, don't do that. You're going to make the Steelers good for 40 years? Why? Why do all of a sudden do they do 50 years? Why do they deserve to be one of the best? What changes that? You start to ask all these questions about what has been instead of what is supposed to be just and solid. I don't want to go that far with any conspiracies. But the only thing that I can say is that when you have, and remember, referees are human and they try as hard as they can to call it down the line. I do believe that. But I've told you so many times about the human condition. If you have three kids and one is the golden child, you're never going to believe, or you're never going to want to believe, that that kid did something wrong. That's Patrick Mahomes. If you have one kid that you're constantly getting calls home from school about, you're constantly getting complaints from teachers about, you're constantly having to go and correct their behavior, you're constantly having to send them to your room, you're going to believe that they messed up. That's Cleveland Browns over the last 25 years. It's the human condition. Matt on the road, you're first up on the Fan. Hello.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Doing well, Matt. Go right on ahead.
Okay, so my big conspiracy theory with this whole thing is, so whether or not they were buddy-buddy or it was like a fake, fake animosity, whatever happened post-Deflategate with Brady and Goodell, like, there was, like, this, like, despising of one another, and every time Goodell had to hand off that trophy to Brady, you could see the disdain in his eyes. Mm-hmm. And, like, I honestly, like, this is my messed up conspiracy, is I think that, like, you look at the similar parallels. You had a starved championship city. You had a coach similar to Belichick where, you know, Reed had been in the league for how long and, you know, never really had any, like, head coaching successes for winning Super Bowls. And all of a sudden now, you know, my honest conspiracy theory is that their Goodell hated Brady so much he's just trying to get Mahomes six championships. And it's just, like, I honestly think it's damaging the credibility of the league because, like, anytime there's, like, a, you know, same thing as when you'd watch some Patriots games back in the day. You throw a pass downfield and you're just waiting for the flag. And I hate to say, you're going to see one of these guys, you're going to get penalized anyways. You're going to see someone just start going headhunting from home and be like, well, I'm going to get fined or penalized anyways. Might as well knock him out of the game and give myself a better chance to win.
Well, what you have there, and Matt, thank you very much for the call. Like, Owen is shaking his head, and people believe that. Owen, they're led to believe these things because they don't see. I mean, people are fans, but they don't see something being called on the up and up.
Yes. How is Owen not losing his mind right now?
I think he's about fine. I mean, there's nothing I can say that's going to change any of you idiots' minds here. So I'd just like you to think about it in a perspective of if this was the Browns and it was Baker Mayfield, we'll just say him.
Okay.
He's the easiest one.
Yeah.
You guys would listen to other cities having this conversation and think they were out of their minds.
It's a good point. He does make a good point.
100% true.
He does make a valid point there. Of course, I would say where Tom Brady's trying to get back at Roger Goodell, if I wanted to keep going down that road, is like, well, he is part owner now of the Raiders, and we all know that the Raiders have themselves a history with owners or with commissioners of the NFL.
Wait a second. Goodell,
I brought it up off the air to you guys, but this is a franchise that in 2012, 2013. Had a linebacker kill himself in the parking lot in front of a coach and a GM. You don't think that was a black eye?
It was a bad day.
NFL.
That was bad.
And going, this is a franchise we do not want to push to the forefront.
But I'm done. Hold on.
I'm done with that. I've said my piece.
You can't believe that a fan would believe.
Oh, no, that's fine. Fans can. I felt the same way about the Patriots at the same time. Like, you know, guys that I knew that grew up in the Boston area and were Patriots fans that I met through my military journey were like, we went through it. We've been through the things that, you know, the Chiefs had at the time or the Browns or any other organization that's been down on its luck. The Lions. And then I understand where they're coming from now. It's fine. I'll take the wins. You guys can have the anger and vitriol, and I'll just keep taking the win.
Let's see. Now I really want you to lose on Sunday. Like,
you
really
wanted me to lose anyway. So.
I didn't want you to lose before. I did not want you to lose before. Not before last week.
I don't care what you want,
Ken. Not before last week.
I think that's a loser's lament.
Dan, not Nate Hills, but Seven Hills. He's next up on the Fan.
Hey, good morning, guys. Hope you're staying warm.
The same to you, Dan.
Oh,
go
I'm
right
hot,
on.
Dan.
Go right on ahead. Yeah, he's getting pretty warm over there. Go ahead there, Dan.
I just want to say that you talked about the NFL never losing popularity. I wanted to say another franchise, WWE, that's never been more popular. And I couldn't watch it growing up. But that all changed when my best friend told me, don't view the WWE as a sport. View it as a scripted sitcom. And I was able to enjoy it again. And it's the same thing with the NFL. Don't view it as a sport anymore. View it as a scripted sitcom, because that they're not in the sport business, they're in the show business. And what greater ticket can you get than Swifties? Her impact is tens of millions of dollars, and you can just go through all of their past histories with Mahomes and just view it as a scripted sitcom, and you can enjoy the NFL again.
Like, if I, Dan, thank you very much
they
for the call.
They went to 5 straight AFC championships before she was ever in the picture, though.
And now it's even better, because now there's going to be people who want to watch just to catch
Taylor
a glimpse
Swift
of her.
Another thing, you guys are all off your rocker.
I'm off my rocker about that. You're telling me that the NFL doesn't get excited about people wanting to see
Major,
fine,
but
the biggest pop star in the world.
Don't act like they weren't a good team before Taylor Swift.
They were a good team before
that. Picture, so.
No one's saying they're not a good team.
Take your loser's lament and go home.
Okay. That's fine. Well, I haven't lost anything.
My team doesn't have a horse in this race right now.
Obviously.
But I got to tell you,
if the horse isn't in Miami, you know as well as I know
that the NFL doesn't want to leave any money on the table and wants as many eyes on the product as they possibly can, and that that Taylor Swift would bring more eyes to the product. They're never going to get tired of seeing Taylor Swift on television. I mean, did we or did we not? There was the possibility of her being at the stadium for a regular season game, and the security was locked down more. You had media waiting outside to see whether or not she was going to show up, and then it ended up being Travis Kelce's mom, which she also had to have incredible security detail because she could be the mother-in-law of the biggest pop star that's on the face of the earth right now, and people would like to take a swing at her. No, not because she stars in a Hallmark movie.
Okay.
She's also doing a cooking thing or something like that I saw. I'm not sure.
She
they do a
cookies,
lot.
Yeah.
They're doing a lot over there. Ed doesn't seem to be doing... He seems to be kind of keeping his own privacy, but the other ones, they're doing a lot. It's up to you. You can go right ahead and do it. Coming up at 9:20, you enjoy it, because I don't think it's ever going to happen again. I hate to tell you. Coming up next, Larry Schmitz, Browns Fan of the Year, and how you can vote for him to be that. Ken Carman, Anthony Lyman, live on the Fan.